Bear Down Bears fans, another edition of the Chicago Bears podcast coming your way. Pat the designer, Courtney Cronin, back at it again, and we got to sit here and talk about some of these top 30 visits that we got going on in Chicago. MHJ seems to be on the Bears radar. Malik Nabers, also a name popping up there. Xavier Worthy. We're having a lot of wide receivers come in. Is Ryan Pohl sitting here trying to tell us something? We'll break that down. Also, got to do a deep dive into what it actually takes to develop the quarterback ahead of this pick in the draft. An article written by our own Courtney Cronin, getting all the intel that she can, and we'll do the deep dive here on the podcast. All that and more on today's episode of the Chicago Bears podcast. Hit that like button, subscribe to the page, leave a 5-star review. Y'all know what to do. Courtney, how's it going? You little upgrade, little vacation time?
No, just, I like the background. I mean, I don't know what this wood situation is, but yeah, this week is, you know, I feel like I'm all over the country right now, just getting some, you know, some helping my brother find an apartment in Florida, and then, you know, moving around. I'll be up in Minneapolis this week. There's just a lot going on. There's also a lot going on with the Bears, but we're 2 weeks away from the draft, and this is an exciting time because the ramp up period, the information you're starting to hear outside of, like, from Hallis Hall, getting outside of Hallis Hall about who's been visiting, the order in which a lot of these top 30 visits are taking place, you can start to connect the dots. And it's further in the conversation around the number 9 overall pick, because we know what they're doing at 1. That feels like it's, you know, a lock at this point. But yeah, Remember what Ryan Poles told us when we were at owners meetings, that they were going to break off into pods when they got back. And it was going to be this group takes the offensive tackles, this group takes the wide receivers, this group takes the pass rushers, and then we'll all meet, we'll all debate it, we'll all figure out what the best short-term and long-term play is. You can start looking at the guys that they had in on top 30 visits and will continue to have in as you know, players that might end up finding their way to Chicago in the not too distant future, and some common ties throughout all of that, like you mentioned, with a lot of receivers coming up to Lake Forest for visits.
It's so interesting too, because I think it's not just receivers that we believe are going to be there at 9. I guess, right, if there's this massive fall of some of these names, that maybe they could be there for us at 9. But it's some guys that you would think you might have to trade up to get. Malik Nabers, Marvin Harrison Jr. We know that there's a lot of discourse, especially on social media. It's gotten a lot more civilized, by the way. We kind of have worked our way back to, like, oh, everybody calm down. It's good now. Okay, let's keep going. But the debate now is, do you go defensive with this pick, get somebody rushing opposite Montez Sweat, or do you keep it offensive, go out and get the receiver? Rome Odunze coming in made sense because he feels like the one that may be there at 9. Mm-hmm. But when I hear MHJ, when I hear Nabers, now it's like, we may risk some future capital to go after guys like this. Do you think that Ryan Poles, even though he's gotten Keenan Allen, still believes that wide receiver is, I guess, not an issue at this point, but it's something that still needs to be addressed through the draft with the names that we have?
I do, and for a number of different reasons, where you have, like, he talked about short-term and long-term plays for the number 9 overall pick. So the short-term right now situation that they have at wide receiver is DJ Moore, who's he's 26 years old. He's got a couple more years on his contract, but when Ryan told us at owners meetings about the order in which he wants to do some of these contract extensions, being intentional with the timing, I read that as DJ Moore is probably not that far off, not like right now, but thinking of, like, the order in which the next current Bear is going to get an extension, he should be right up there. And, you know, pairing him with Keenan Allen in the short term, and even, like, short term could be like 1 or 2 years. We're not talking about 5 years down the road. We're talking about guys right now who are still in the prime of their career. Keenan's 32, DJ's 26. That helps a young quarterback because you don't also have a receiver like that you're relying on to start day one. That's going to have to come along with the quarterback. You already have the two quarterback friendly guys who we saw with Justin Fields, and, you know, what his numbers were targeting DJ Moore last year. Excellent. We saw what happened with Justin Herbert targeting Keenan Allen the last couple of years. His numbers were reflective of a quarterback-friendly wide receiver. You have those guys for now, but if they go wide receiver at number 9, it's not necessarily oh, this guy, you know, is so far to, is, you know, number three down the depth chart. Like, that player will see quite a bit of playing time because of how often a Shane Waldron offense is going to utilize two tight end sets, but also 11 personnel and having multiple receivers on the field at the same time. And I think it really does. If that's the way this happens, that speaks to the advantage the Bears will have, where you have Keenan Allen right now. Is an extension going to happen? Ryan Pohl said that that would be something down the road that they discuss. And I honestly do think that they will get something done. But you're not going to have him forever. He's closer to the end of his career than he is the beginning of his career. So the play here in the short term, you have Keenan Allen, you have a receiver at number nine. And then when Keenan Allen decides to hang it up, then that receiver you draft at number nine is going to be ready to fill in or to, you know, to take on that bigger role at some point in the next couple of years. So it is a good short-term and long-term play. However, you know, there still is that need at defensive end opposite Montez Sweat, or even what Matt Eberflus kind of left the door open to. You know, they like guys who can rush on the inside. If Jervon Dexter is not ready for that role full time, maybe they end up, you know, going after a Byron Murphy if they want to move back. I don't think they'd take him at number nine, but there's so many different paths here that they can take, which gives them a lot of flexibility. But you can't deny the amount of receivers and the big names that you're seeing visit House Hall in these top 30 visits that might lead you to believe that they are targeting a receiver with the number nine overall pick.
I think what's interesting too is, right, like it's been a very offensive top 30 visit, right? Of course, Caleb Williams is the easy one, but it does feel like they're going all in to try and, okay, let's figure out something else that we could put on the line here with Caleb Williams. I think yesterday we heard Jackson Powers Johnson also will be coming in for a visit, which I love that, right? Which I think makes the Xavier Worthy name interesting. And I, at this point, I don't think that we're still in the he's trying to hide his cards. He doesn't want to show too much about what he's going to do in the draft. At this point, we're in the let's figure out if these guys can play and what they're made of portion of the draft. I thought Xavier Worthy was an interesting name because he's somebody who also is shooting up draft boards, but you probably have to move back to go get him. That could speak to moving that ninth overall pick, getting Xavier Worthy maybe a little bit later if you feel like he's an answer, maybe being able to get Jackson Powers Johnson as well. I think that Ryan Poles is he's done this the entire time, but it's not just doing your due diligence. It's making sure that every single option that I can take with this pick is checked. And even if that is Marvin Harrison Jr. is such a talent that we need to move some more capital so that we can go up and get this guy, because we will absolutely regret not having him in the future. He's open to that option as well.
I could see it kind of different. I see it a little differently. I don't think it's moving up to go get Marvin Harrison Jr. I think that, you know, there's this debate in the NFL world right now that Malik Nabers could be the number one receiver taken in the draft. Right. And for good reason. I mean, the guy was, you know, he averaged like 18 yards a catch during his final season at LSU. He's the type of receiver that defenses have to account for at all times. You got to know where this guy is and you got to dedicate extra attention to him. And if you're connecting dots, the Bears went to his pro day. They got to watch him and Brian Thomas Jr. They got to really zero in on two very high caliber receiver talents. And they saw how fast, and not that straight line speed means everything, but when you want a deep threat, when you've got Keenan Allen and DJ Moore in more or less set roles based on what they've done over 11 years and, you know, 6 or 7 years respectively, I can't do the math on that on DJ Moore right now, but like you've got what, you know what those two guys are good at, you know what their bread and butter is. If you want a deep threat right away for a Caleb Williams to be able to capitalize on, and you're looking at Malik Nabers, then you're also probably fighting against other teams that view him in the same way. And one thing I think would be really interesting to see how this plays out, is testing the tiebreaker here? Because remember, Marvin Harrison did not do any testing at the combine. He did not do any testing in his pro day. Malik Nabers, on the other hand, was the opposite of that. And he ran that insanely fast 40-yard dash at LSU's pro day two or three weeks ago. Could that tip the scale in the favor of Malik Nabers, where he ends up being the first receiver taken? And not saying that Marvin Harrison Jr. would fall, but because I think that fall, like if you go like one or two spots, like, yes, it's a difference.
You fell,
like, but it's not like he's like just tumbling down in the first round. He'll be gone in the top 10, but like if he's there at nine, you have to prepare for that. And, you know, you're right to say they're doing their due diligence. I think that that is probably the best way with all of the receivers that could be there for them at number nine. That's the best way to handle it. You wouldn't want to be in a situation where you weren't prepared and you didn't get the guy in the building. You didn't get a chance to learn about him a little bit more. Yes, his tape speaks for itself. He's the Biletnikoff winner from last season. He, you know, did incredible things 2022 and 2023. But to get him into your building along with Roma Dunze, along with Malik Nabers, and then even further down, those receivers that you expect later in the first round and even into the second round, That's a good place for the Bears to be in as far as keeping their options open and being confident in the options that could be available to them, where if they do move past number nine and they are able to trade back, someone like Xavier Worthy, who ran, again, an insanely fast 40 time, the fastest that we've seen at the combine since John Ross did it back in, you know, the 2010s, that's a good spot for them to be in to know, okay, we have a high quality player here. We've vetted him. We've done our research on it. And we were able to still get somebody we anticipate being a big part of what we do on offense, whether it's now or later, and moving back in the draft order in the process to recoup some draft capital. Because I still sit here today, beginning of April, thinking, how is this team going to be comfortable with four picks? Number one, nine, 75 and 122. There's just a lot of players that they're going to leave on the board if that's the case. And we know from history, Ryan Poles doesn't want to just sit around during the draft and pick where the team is slated to do that. He's been really good at moving around. And I could very well, given the depth of this receiver class, see them doing that. If there's other players that they are head over heels about that they feel they could land later in the first round or even into the second.
Do you think, just to back up a little bit here, do you think that, oh, by the way, this is our Road to the Draft brought to you by Toyota. Toyota, let's go places. As we sit here and break down the draft all the way to the draft, Toyota going to be sponsoring us and showing love there. Do you think that there could be a, of course, not as far, but a Justin Jefferson type situation where we see a guy that we thought was supposed to be going to a team at three or four, going somewhere later in the draft, where I remember that Minnesota draft room just lighting up and being super excited that you picked Henry Ruggs first, guys. That's who you were going with there, CeeDee Lamb on over JJ.
Like, yeah, I mean,
do you think that situation could show here? Because I guess of the devil you know versus the devil you don't, where you've seen Malik Nabers medicals and things like that.
That's a good comparison, that 2020 draft class, because really the last 2 years, 2022 and 2023, we haven't seen the numbers like that in the first and second round. I mean, there's high-end talent for sure, but there wasn't the same prognosis where you could look at the draft and say, man, I can get a starting caliber receiver in round one, like the high-end guys, where I'm also comfortable waiting till later in day one, day two, potentially even into the third round of getting somebody that you know is going to contribute right away. I was doing this exercise last week. I just looked at Field Yates, did a two-round mock draft, and I think he had Roma Dunze going to the Bears at nine. But then overall, you take a look at his board, and there's 14 receivers gone round one and into round two. That is following the trend of what we saw in 2020, where, I mean, Justin Jefferson was the 22nd overall pick that year, 21st or 22nd overall pick.
22nd overall pick.
Like in the first round. And they had two picks that year. They went, cornerback and they went receiver. Like, I could very well see the draft playing out this way, to where Ryan Poles, if there is somebody that wants to move up into the top 10, he could still go get a receiver later in the first round, or even like, let's read through some of these names. So this is Field Yates' mock draft from, I think it was last week at some point. So past the top 10, the next receiver he has going off the board. So it's Marvin Harrison Jr., Malik Nabers, Roma Dunze. Then at 18, he's got Brian Thomas Jr. going to Cincinnati. At 23, he's got A.D. Mitchell from Texas going to the Chargers. Xavier Worthy, who was reportedly just on that top 30 visit to Chicago earlier this week, goes to the Bills at 28. And that's just the first round. Like the second round names are Xavier Leggett from South Carolina, Keon Coleman, who we heard a lot about this the past year at Florida State because of how, you know, how big of a transfer portal get that was for Mike Norvell's team and all that he was able to accomplish on a team that was, you know, probably in the eyes of some should have been in the college football playoff. Ladd McConkey, Roman Wilson. Like, there's a lot of really good names here that they may be looking at saying, hey, how can we get into the second round where we can get the high value and also be able to get another draft pick to use on a different position that might need some depth? Like, there's ways to do it where you're not just looking at the top three receivers who they have done their homework on, credit to them on that, but like that you're not just locked in on, we have to take this guy at nine if he's there, when the value and still being able to get a great player in the process could present itself via a trade back.
Yeah, there's so many names in this draft. And you look at that 2020 draft, the reason I brought it up, I mean, that reason, right? You end up still getting, where'd I go? You end up still getting Michael Pittman in the second round. Who is he, a number one? Yeah, I think there's some debate there, but you'd also say his quarterback situation has been probably the worst of any of these guys, right? T. Higgins in that second round. You start to look around and you're like, yeah, there's some depth there. Especially with this year, and once you saw Xavier Worthy start to move up, you're like, wow, like he's moving into the first round. Mm-hmm. Could there be still that Keon Coleman? You know, like there's so many names this year. The wide receiver room could be built off of somebody that we're not even paying attention to. I think my biggest fear with it is, though, we've seen Ryan Poles with wide receivers. I would love for him to take the slam dunk on this one. Yeah, I mean, the wide receiver love for Ryan has not been great in Chicago, minus DJ Moore and Keenan Allen, two guys who were already established.
I think that that's a fair criticism because of the third round pick that they used on Velus Jones Jr. in 2022, which they were looking for speed on the outside. Like, I don't think you can fault them for that, but there was also, that was not a great receiver class by any stretch, probably the worst we've seen of the last 5 years. And then last year, you know, I don't think there's anything wrong with taking a flyer on a fourth round pick like Tyler Scott and expecting that that player will eventually, you know, develop into a depth piece that you want, but like they just don't have depth. Like, that's the problem. And when you think about it in the short term, if they draft a receiver at nine, or even if they move back from nine and get somebody later in the first round, early second round, that player still projects as very high end depth with starting capabilities, considering, you know, if you go three wide, like you're going to need somebody else there in the mix that's not DJ Moore and Keenan Allen. But no. When Ryan Poles says he likes the numbers of like the options that they have at number nine and the avenues that they can take, a lot of that points to wide receiver because of the sheer numbers at that position and where those guys are supposed to go day one and day two and how many names we're going to hear. Like, the numbers I just read you, the 14 and Field Yates' latest mock draft, that's just round one and round two. Can you imagine what round three is going to be? Like, they're probably going to be like 20 receivers taken by the time that, maybe even more than that, by the time the third round is over and we're going into Saturday.
Now, I wonder if that's why, right? Like, when you kind of look at this, and I think we heard it was Mina Kimes on Waddle and Sylvie. She was like, this is a 4-round draft, kind of. Like, yes, there's going to be some names we look at in the 5th and 6th round, but when you see a lot of where this talent is bunched up at, it's in the first 4 rounds. And so, is Ryan Poles more comfortable sticking in these first 4 rounds? Because when you get to 3, I agree with you. I think there's going to be a ton of wide receiver names taken off the board. And that's where I'm starting to look at and be like, oh, that means defensive ends are falling. That means that, you know, some of those nose tackle guys are falling. That means that we know that they're going to find a way to get a DB. That's the one thing that I fully believe. The Bears are always in on getting at least one DB. So I think that there'll be some kind of 4th or 5th round pick maybe added to go add that, right? Like, there's just so much talent in this draft. It's such a loaded draft. It's a great time for you to be getting your rookie quarterback. And I think that that's the part that it makes me feel like, almost no matter what he does with this first round, I don't think there's a move right now, minus like if he went and got a running back. Like, I'd probably flip a table on that. But I don't think there's a move right now he can make that I'd be like, whoa, where are you going here? Like, this draft is completely loaded.
No, it is. And it's at positions that they need, which is important. Like, last year, you know, didn't necessarily play out. Like, I mean, obviously they got high end talent in the first round, in the second round, and even to the third. But when you think about biggest positions of need last year versus where they're at this year, a lot of those things remain the same: defensive line and wide receiver. Yet I think you're more comfortable if you're the Bears having waited it out, having drafted the guys that you did and not necessarily reaching to get players, that this year it's going the board, the way the board could fall would play into your favor better than the previous years. And now with those positions specifically, with wide receiver, with defensive end, and like specifically the number nine pick, because I know that when we talked to Poles, he mentioned at owners meetings, he mentioned like the pods that they were breaking themselves off into and before they would like come back together. Like I mentioned at the top of the pod, like our pod, like offensive tackle, wide receiver, and defensive end. Offensive tackle right now is not a major need for this team. It's just not. Like, I know that some people are out on Braxton Jones.
It doesn't
Jones
feel like they're prioritizing it.
And it shouldn't be when you have such little draft capital at the moment. Now, if you're able to swing it where you get a trade back and you can get a you know, whichever position, maybe it's not even tackle. I mean, you mentioned it earlier, like Jackson Powers Johnson, the top center in the draft, was at Hallis Hall on a top 30 visit on Monday this week. And that's due diligence. That's also somebody that they got a chance to see at his pro day last month. But maybe that's a for later sort of pick that you're looking at because of the way the board will fall if they're able to trade back. But right now, the most pressing need truly is defensive end. That's the biggest hole. Wide receiver isn't nearly as big of a hole as it once was for this team. But that still doesn't, like, for me, the way that I look at it, everything skews offense. Everything skews towards helping the quarterback. Now, the defense can certainly help the quarterback by getting him the ball back a lot and getting, absolutely, you know, turning the other team over, giving the Bears good field position. But I still think that wide receiver is probably the path that they go, whether it's at nine or somewhere else, because they have to think about the short term and the long term impact of guys that they just brought on, like Keenan Allen, and then others that they will bring into the mix. And I wouldn't rule out like them signing a defensive end at some point, you know, just getting some other veterans in here over the course of the next couple of months before training camp, the way that they did last year.
Oh yeah. And I think that the part that a lot of people, we live in a, like, how is he going to do it with these picks, mm-hmm, right now? This, and I say, look at Ryan Poles' track record. He's attacked this team in literally every single way possible. Free agency, he's made signings. The draft, he's made trade backs. He's made trade ups. He's made moves during the season. Don't be surprised if we do enter the season with Montez Sweat and DeMarcus Walker, because that was a defense that you looked at and they led the second half in interceptions. That was a team that was able to take the ball away, get the ball back in the quarterback's hands. Doesn't mean he won't use some of that future capital to add a player midseason, mm-hmm, like he did last year with Montez Sweat. Like, I think there's a million options open, and that's the part that gets me the most excited, because this really is about finally getting the quarterback position right, finally developing the quarterback position. I thought you wrote an excellent article today on that, and it hit at the perfect time, because I had this realization, I want to say it was Friday on the podcast as we were going through it. Like, it was Friday because we had Abdallah on. And I said, I don't believe I've ever been alive to see a quarterback the Chicago Bears have drafted get a second contract. Mm-hmm. And we all started looking around the room and it was like, No one has.
We
have not. Well, McMahon got a second deal. He's the only one.
But like, we were not alive. I was not alive when that happened. Like, I forget when Adam would have been born. Maybe. No, Adam's around our age too. Like,
Adam said he was one.
Yeah. Okay. Like, that doesn't count. Like, you didn't get to watch that guy go through the process of getting drafted and developed. And that's, you know, the basis of my story. When I sat down with Ryan Poles for a one-on-one conversation at the owners' meetings, like, why has this happened? Because obviously they do their research from like the previous however many years, 100 plus years, and you're mostly looking at more recent history than that. But the references to Sid Luckman as your last drafted and developed franchise quarterback, how can you get rid of that? How can you you know, that's an embarrassing reference for this franchise that, like, that's, you know, 85 plus years ago, something like that, seven decades, eight decades.
He was basically the guy that invented the position.
Yeah. Like, and so like
everybody else is like throwing it.
I know. And it's a sad realization, but it's one when you have Ryan Poles going on the McAfee show saying he's pissed off about the comments that were made that, like, the Bears, you know, or it's the same old Bears sort of thing. Like, yeah. He came here because he was hired to break a cycle. And I thought his most salient point was nobody ever talks about what happened in Kansas City pre 2017 before they got Patrick Mahomes. Like, they broke that cycle. Nobody then refers to the, like, oh, look at the Kansas City Chiefs. They haven't been able to draft and develop a quarterback. Well, they've got one right now. Pretty darn good one. A great one, some might even say. Like, all it takes is one player to do that. And Caleb Williams, from everything that they're doing right now to put him in position to succeed, everything has to skew quarterback so they don't perpetuate the cycle the way that they have over the course of our lifetime and the course of most current Bears fans' lifetimes. Because, yeah, Jim McMahon, and you can argue about all of that, like, you know, was it him? Was it the defense on those teams? Like, what was he surrounded by? Yes, he got a second contract, but it's like, who's the last guy that they truly drafted and developed into a franchise talent? And you have to go so far back to find that, which for me, like, getting Ryan Poles' take on why that is, I felt like I walked away with information that I, you know, really got a chance to kind of tap into how he sees this process and how he's able to put parameters in place to break that cycle, whether it's looking back at the evaluation of these previous quarterbacks. And that's, you know, that's Justin Fields, that's Mitchell Trubisky, that's, you know, all of the other first-round quarterbacks that didn't end up panning out in Chicago. The ability to not make these sort of knee-jerk reactions, you know, moves that you make under pressure is how Ryan Poles put it to me. And that's what you saw from the last time around when that team, Matt Nagy, Ryan Pace, that group got desperate. So they tried to save their jobs by trading up and making a panic move to go get Justin Fields when that probably very clearly was not the right move. He's approached this thing in such a methodical way where literally everything is thought out about how you are able to draft and develop a franchise quarterback. In this way that we went through this story was, let's talk to some people who have done it before. Let's talk to people who are currently in the process of trying to do that themselves, whether it's a Shane Steichen in Indianapolis. And I mean, you only got a 4-game sample size with Anthony Richardson, but the steps that they took, whether it's that example, whether it's CJ Stroud in Houston, I mean, there's a lot there that the Bears can pull from in learning how to do this on their own, something that this team truly has not been able to do.
What was the common theme that you heard when you talked to all of these coaches? What was kind of the, I would assume that there's differences, mm-hmm. but there's probably something that was, you got to do this. What do you feel that was?
Simplifying things and not expecting greatness right away. And not necessarily that it was put in those terms, but like you'll talk to people in Green Bay. Brian Gutekunst was quoted in this story, Matt LaFleur as well. That's a situation where they had a veteran quarterback, I mean, Hall of Famer, but like they didn't have to throw Jordan Love into the fray right away. Andy Reid, similar situation in Kansas City with Patrick Mahomes not having to play that first year outside of, you know, a little bit of garbage time in one game. And then before that, with Donovan McNabb not being relied upon in that first year he was drafted before, you know, taking the reins, and then they make 5 straight appearances in the playoffs, including one trip to the Super Bowl, where the luxury of letting your guy sit and learn how to be a pro, learn how to, you know, learn NFL speed, learn all of those things. Unfortunately, the Bears are not going to be able to follow that same model. But the way that Ryan Poles and I talked about this was that the way he feels, like, just from salary cap constraints and some other things they want to do with the roster, they didn't go after a Joe Flacco, a Ryan Fitzpatrick, a seasoned veteran quarterback that we've seen throughout the last couple years be the guy to help guide the new guy in that process. But that quarterback room, which right now projects to be Caleb Williams, Tyson Bagent, and Brett Rypien. They also have Ryan Griffin, who's an assistant coach. And what really stood out to the Bears was how much time Ryan Griffin was around Tom Brady, especially in those two seasons, in three seasons in Tampa Bay. And that's something I think is really underrated about the way that they've structured the support system around Caleb Williams, particularly as it pertains to that quarterback room itself in helping him get to the point where you have somebody who's done it for a very long time, a decade, you know, decade of experience in the NFL in Ryan Griffin. He's just not playing anymore, but he's still there to give that guidance. Somebody who literally just retired a year or so ago. And he's not that far removed from what Caleb Williams is about to go through. So I think it's the insulation of the quarterback, whether it's the quarterback room itself, not asking them to do too much, not clouding their brains with a ton of information right away, simplifying things, and also making sure that you have the support structure in place, whether it's a wide receiver like the Bears have, whether it's DeAndre Swift and you know, supporting him through the run game too. I mean, those are all common themes that a lot of coaches and front office execs that I talked to pointed to being the tools you need to develop a quarterback successfully from his rookie season.
A lot of great names in this article. And I instantly, I hate that I did it. I'm like, where's LaFleur at? Well, I got to figure out, like, how are they doing it up there? Mm-hmm. And it irritates my soul that I have to go there the first time. But I thought that he said something really, really key and something that I think most Bears fans are scared of here. But you feel a little bit more confident with how Ryan Poles is building this team. He said, I do believe that some guys, if they're thrown in there too early, they get scars and then they start to lose their confidence. It's hard when a guy loses his confidence to kind of recover from that. And I thought that that was so telling because that's kind of the exercise we went through with Justin Fields.
Yeah.
He got thrown out of there, or got thrown out there day one. You got JPP on the other side of him, who's 40 years old, trying to go up against Myles Garrett, and he has his entire first start in the NFL of him. I think he threw less than 100 yards, and he's getting sacked 7 times, right? Like, it feels like, not that there was never any coming back from that, but that was always something that was in the back of his mind, that was always something of, okay, how do you overcome that beast throughout his career? And I think that's what a lot of Bears fans fear here with Caleb Williams is, are you going to throw him out there and the scars are going to be put on this young man too early? The ghosts, he's going to be seeing the ghosts,
yeah,
you know.
It's always the fear you have.
This first season.
Well, and the reason that they feel that they're not in that position where he is set up to fail is because they're a team that has a lot of really good pieces around him, whether it's on offense and on defense. Like, we always bring it back to, this is not your normal team with the number one overall pick. It's not their crappy record that got them that pick. It was someone else's. They were a team that was on the come up. It took them a while, but they were on the come up at the end of last season, finishing the year with a top five defense and an offense that, yeah, passing wise, 27th, like, you know, that's the reason they made a change. It's at offensive coordinator and at quarterback. But they feel that the pieces they have in place and the pieces that they're bringing in, Shane Waldron, Caleb Williams, will put them on a better trajectory for him to have earlier success than what we saw with Justin Fields, who didn't win a game his rookie season. And I tend to look at this in a situation that they feel that they aren't throwing Caleb Williams out there too early. Like, would he want to sit? Would he benefit from sitting? Would he benefit from sitting, I think, is different than would he want to sit. Yeah.
I think we know he doesn't want
to. I think every quarterback will benefit from, like, having a chance to, like, learn from somebody for a little bit, but just teams don't have that luxury. And the Bears have to, in year three, show some more improvement in terms of the win column, but also that the plan is working. You got to show proof behind that. And even when you have a rookie quarterback, there's going to, like, who is drafted as high as Caleb will be, there's still going to be some growing pains, which, again, like, I always think that the conversation has to shift to realistic expectations for what Caleb Williams' rookie season will be. But it's not to say that he's going to be set up to fail because of the situation that he's coming into that's vastly different from most quarterbacks that would be in his position drafted number one overall.
Was there somebody in the article that you felt their comments fit perfectly with the Bears situation here?
Oh, that's a good question. Probably. I mean, well, of course, you know, like I think back to, I think it was the Andy Reid comment when he mentioned, you know, the don't cloud their minds with info. I think it was Andy Reid, like don't cloud their minds with information that's, or excuse me, Shane Steichen said this, Indianapolis. Like, do you, and of course, my brain goes back to the time where Justin Fields last year was talking about playing robotic and that, yes, I know he walked these comments back. He still said it. He still meant it. Like that coaching and what he felt was being like information overload. I know these guys have to know every single thing about the offense. They need to know where the protections are. They need to know where the receivers are. They need to know if guys are aligned properly. They need to know the play. They need to know what everybody's supposed to do on that play. But simplifying it from that respect, I think is a very, very important thing that the Bears are going to have to do, that Shane Waldron, effectively that falls on him. So that was like the first thing. Cause I remember like hearing that, I was like, damn, that kind of sounds like, you know, Justin going into week three last year. But no. Other than that, I think Doug Peterson had some really good, Jacksonville Jaguars head coach had some really important things to say about like helping them with the run game. And I've got it here. It's like, if you can get your run game going, that's going to open up some things in the pass game, play action, your movement game, all of that. And then having the right pieces around the quarterback. So of course, like his experience was that he had Zach Ertz, who was a security blanket for Carson Wentz when Wentz was drafted, you know, in the second overall in 2016. Right. And then of course, with Trevor Lawrence, when Peterson got there, it's Marvin Jones. And then, you know, adding Calvin Ridley into the mix there, and then Evan Ingram, like you get more confident when you have those pieces around the quarterback. And I see that with DeAndre Swift, like there's a reason they didn't just like want to like go like, you know, bolster the backfield because they thought like, okay, let's just do this to do it. No, there's a reason that they went and got DeAndre Swift with their first big splash the day that free agency, the negotiating period opened that Monday. That's to help the rookie quarterback. That's to provide run support. And not only just that, but you know, another weapon in the pass game. He can catch passes out of the backfield. He can be a factor for this team on screens. Like that stuff is very important to the development of a rookie quarterback where not everything is resting on that player's shoulders. So I think that one really, to me, hit home with the Bears and the moves that they made from the run game to adding Keenan Allen and all of the pieces that will surround Caleb Williams when he gets to Chicago.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting with Waldron because a lot of his time as a play caller has been with the veteran guys, mm-hmm. right? Like he's worked with the rookies as well in his career.
He got Jared Goff really early on. So you know, when you're still teaching somebody the fundamentals of like being a quarterback at the NFL level, when you can still mold them, when they're not set in their ways with like habits that you have to break, like that's a really beneficial part of, you know, again, like the alignment between offensive coordinator and quarterback. Think about how much undoing and changing of Justin Fields' game had to happen that 2022 season when he first starts working with Luke Getsy. It was the footwork, the drop back, which foot goes forward, which foot's back, switching that, the timing with the receivers, all of those things took a year. If you get Caleb Williams in from day one and you teach him from day one, like you're both going on the same trajectory, you hopefully break the cycle of having 9 offensive coordinators in the span since you last won a playoff game.
Well, the part that sucks is we know if Shane Waldron's successful, he's going to have at least 2 because Shane's not going to, you develop a quarterback in Chicago, you got a job for at least 3 years. I always think about Adam Gase. He got mm-hmm. Jay Cutler to just like think before he threw.
And he was gone.
And he got 2 jobs.
One year. And then he was gone
with all of them.
Yeah. No, I mean, that's a down the line. That's like a 4 later sort of problem that the Bears will have to deal with. But it to get somebody in here at the same time as the offensive coordinator who's just starting out his career with the Bears. I mean, he's already had multiple years of play calling experience, something Luke Getsy didn't have at the NFL level when he got here. All of those things are upgrades for the Bears in trying to make this thing work and not have to, like, they don't want to, like, have to go through the same sort of things that previous iterations of the Bears have. And that's not an easy task, but they've set themselves up for a way to avoid that in a lot of different categories. And I think that has to be highlighted within all of this. Like, you know, developing a quarterback, there's no, you know, the shoe's not going to fit on everybody's foot the same, but there are principles within this that translate from all 32 teams that the Bears are going to have to make sure that they have squared away before they get Caleb Williams on the field at rookie camp.
No, 100%. And I think that, listen, I think you've set it up in the right way. I love how they've hired their offensive coaches this year. I mean, you talk about Thomas Brown, mm-hmm. you talk about Kerry Joseph. Feels like there's some long-term or longevity along with that, right? If you do lose Shane Waldron to keep things similar. So I think the Bears have gone about this the right way. It's the best way I've ever seen them go about this. And listen, hopefully we finally get to see a quarterback not only develop here, but get to a second contract that the Bears have drafted. Because if it don't happen at this point, we're cursed. I don't know what else to say. Like, he's got all the weapons. He's got an offensive line, got a running game, got a guy who develops quarterbacks as his number one trait. I don't know. It is what it is. But we appreciate you, as always, tuning in and rocking with us. Appreciate Courtney coming on. Make sure to check out the article on ESPN.com right now. A lot of great insight, a lot of great information in there on developing the quarterback position. Tune in with that as well. As always, for Courtney Cronin, is Pat the Designer, back at it again. Y'all stay safe out there, Chicago. Bear down, and let's get this thing right. Peace.